Hey everybody, it's Humphreys. Welcome to the Fladdy Longer podcast. We hope by the end of this presentation, you'll be encouraged to take your next right step in your walk with Jesus. Enjoy.
Woo, good morning. No, welcome back. Feels good to be back in the house of the Lord. I mean, it's been a few months, right? How many? Three and a half months without us meeting together. And it's such a pleasure to be in the house of God again and to have all of you joining us here today. And special shout out to those who are joining us online. You know, we need to get used to this online thing, right? So if you're joining us online, thank you so much for tuning in this morning. We pray that God will speak to us, that we're going to have a wonderful time in His presence. Amen. Before we get into the word this morning, I just want to give a few announcements. Now, when you were walking in, if you missed our opportunity to give this morning, we just want to let you know that we have baskets at the door. So when you go out, if you missed an opportunity to give your offering this morning, please feel free to give as you go out. And if you're watching online, you can also give via our online platform. So details will be shared on the screen about how you can do that as well. And just wanted you guys to know that this is our first Sunday back. Okay. So the noise button is still there. That's good to know. See, a lot of things have changed, but the noise button is still there. That's great. So we're going to keep on having this online, this Sunday in-person gatherings and an online service as well. We're going to be streaming this live. And just wanted to give a shout out to you guys for coming today, you know. And we just wanted to say to all our church family, feel free to choose any option. If you feel like you want to come in on a Sunday, please let us know and you're more than welcome. But if you feel you want to stay at home, please feel free to do that as well. And just also to say, if you are not feeling well, or you maybe have a cough or whatever, would ask you to probably join in online and stay at home as well, so that we keep everyone safe. Is that okay? Yeah. All right, so let's dive into the Word of God this morning. I'm so excited to be sharing the Word of God with you. And I've been trying to think through what to share with us this morning, and it's been a journey. I was talking to Pastor Humphreys a few days ago, and just letting him know how, you know, God always, I believe God always has a word that He wants to give us, and it's always interesting to go on that journey of trying to hear what He has to say. So I was joking with him and saying, you know what, it's so amazing how God is so connected and He's so interested in us that whenever we gather, He always has something in season, something that will speak to us in store. So I'm believing God for that He's going to speak to our hearts, that He's going to answer some questions that we have, and that there will be the peace of God that is released in our hearts even as we go forward. Amen. Now, I just wanted to say this few things before we read the text this morning. I don't know if you guys are like me and have had a lot of questions about what's going on. God, where are you in all this, right? What's really happening? And I wanted to say from the onset that the church in a time of crisis is spelled hope. Let me say that again. The church in any time of crisis is spelled hope. And that is why my message this morning is going to be titled, Church Equals Hope. Church Equals Hope. Now, the first thing I want to say, just, you know, throw these few things out of the way. Number one, God is not surprised by the pandemic. Now, a lot of people have been saying, God, where are you? Now, God is not surprised by what is happening. It took us by surprise, but it didn't take Him by surprise. Amen? So God is not surprised by what is happening. Now, then you can ask, so where is God in all this if He's not surprised? Now, the answer to that is very simple. And I've been battling with this, but it is the truth. Where is he? He's still on the throne, where he was before Corona, and he's still reigning in all glory, in all power. So he's still right where he was. He's still God, and he's still all-powerful, all-knowing. So then the next question would be, so what is he doing about all this, right? Now, I want to know as well, what are you doing? I mean, you're still God, you're still reigning, you're not surprised by this. So what exactly are you doing about all this? The good news is, God is concerned about what is happening, right? He cares for us, so he's concerned. And you know what he has done? How he is acting? He has sent his best. Now, who is his best? He has sent his best, which is the church, to be his hands and feet, to be the light in the darkness. And he's saying, I'm busy at work right now, and I'm working through the church. Now, who is the church? The church is you and I, right? It is you and me. So he's saying, listen, I know the stuff that's going on. I'm not surprised by it, but I'm resting in the knowledge that I have my children whom I've sent into the world to be the light in the darkness. Amen. Isn't that comforting to know that God is at work, but he's working through you and me in this difficult time? Amen. Now, I know a lot of, the building has been closed, right? But the truth is, the church has never been closed. Because we've been crying about it, open the building, open the church. And I always say, it's good to have the building and community meeting together like this. But the truth of the matter is, the church has never been closed from day one. The church has been alive, the church has been moving, and God has been on the move. And how has he been moving? Through you and me. By representing him and being the light in the darkness. Amen. So I want to invite you guys to stand this morning as we read the word of God today. Our reading is going to be from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5. 2 Kings, chapter 5. Reading from verses 1 till 14. Now, it's an amazing story, a popular story about Naaman and Elisha. Now, I will invite you guys to read with me. So Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor because the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his king. Thus and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I'll send a letter to the king of Israel." So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold and 10 changes of clothing. Now, those who did the math say this is probably around $1.5 million to about $3 million in today's currency. That's how much he carried. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you Naaman, my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Only consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him now come to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was angry and went away saying, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pafa, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned away and went away in a rage. But his servants came near him and said, "My father, It is a great word that the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Yes, he actually said to you, wash and be clean. So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was God, and he was clean. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. We may be seated. Now, I want to speak to us this morning about what I've titled, Church Equals Hope. Church Equals Hope. Now, like I've mentioned before, God, he has placed his church and has sent his church to represent him in this time. Now, the question then becomes, how do we do this? How are we acting as his hands and feet? How are we representing him during this difficult time? Now you all will agree with me that when COVID-19 came, you know, we're all taken aback, and it has altered life as we know it, right? We talk about the new normal. We see what's happening. We see the countless lives that have been lost. We see livelihoods have been messed up. People are losing their jobs, you know. There is a lot of worry. There is a lot of panic that has been going on. And trust me, it is all justified, right? It is, because it's real. I think when COVID came, I remember when it started, you know, we would joke about it and we would say, well, black don't crack. You still remember? Because we had not yet felt it. But then now it's so real, and it's become a present reality that we are living with. But then what is God saying, and what is God calling us to do in this time? Because I don't believe the church was sent into the world to be a passive witness of what is happening, but there's an active assignment that God has given us as the church. And I believe he wants to challenge us this morning to be active in that assignment, to realize what he has called us to do, so that we can be his agents of hope in the world. Amen. Now, the passage we have read, there is crisis everywhere. Now, you look at Naaman. Naaman was second in charge in the land of Syria. Great man, mighty man, but the Bible says, but he was a leper. He had a personal crisis that was going on. You look at the servant girl who is in Naaman's house. She was a slave, you know. She also has a personal crisis. You look at the king of Israel. He's my favorite now. When the letter comes to him, he reads it and then he says, oh, this guy is looking for a fight with me. And now you need to understand that the background to the story is, for the past few years, or a lot of years actually, Syria had been defeating Israel left, right, and center. So they were scared of Syria. And now when this letter comes, the king sees it and he says, oh, here they come again. So everywhere you look in the story, there is a crisis that is going on, either at a personal level or at a corporate level, at a national level. And I'd like to presume that it's the same with where we are right now. On a personal level, there's so much that's going on. But corporately, there's so much that we are dealing with as well. But I have good news. I have good news, because this is not a message of doom. This is good news. The good news is God is at work. God is at work. And when we go through this story, we're going to see 5 ways that I believe God is at work, and that he's calling us to partner with, so that we can be his agents of hope into the world. Amen. Now, the first way that we're going to demonstrate hope in a time of crisis is this: by consistently pointing people to Jesus, regardless of the circumstances around us. We're going to demonstrate hope during a time of crisis by consistently pointing people to Jesus, regardless of what's going on around us. Now, you look at the servant girl in the story. Like I said, she had a personal crisis going on. She had every right to be bitter, every right to be angry, because she'd been taken away from her homeland. She was a slave in Naaman's house. She didn't apply for a job. She wasn't there because she wanted to be. She had every right not to be happy with this guy. But when she sees Naaman's leprosy, she realizes there's something at play here. I might not be in a good situation, but God wants to use the situation that I am in to be a herald of hope, even to Naaman. We might not be in a situation that we want to be today, right? Things might not be going well for a lot of us on a personal level. Corporately, we might not be where we wanted to be. I remember when the year started, man, I was writing them goals down, you know, 3 months. We should have achieved this 6 months. Guess what? All that went right out of the door. So I'm not where I want to be, right? But even in the midst of that, God still has an assignment. We are still called to be agents of hope, heralding and pointing people to Jesus. So the servant girl comes to her mistress and says, listen, if Naaman would go and find Elisha. Now remember, the focus is not on Elisha here. The focus is on the God who Elisha represented. What the servant girl was saying, listen, if Naaman could come and see the man, not the man Elisha, but the man Jesus Christ, if she could come and find healing in him, I can assure you that he will be healed. Now that she didn't say he might be healed. He said, I know. He will be healed. What a statement of hope in a difficult time. I have news for us this morning. When we look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, not might be, I know we shall be made whole. I know we shall be made whole. Now, you might be asking, how would that look like? I don't know how that would look like, but what I know is the outcome. We shall be made whole. And what evidence do I have? When he was hanging on the cross, the Bible said, he said, it is finished. And you won all the victory. So I know how the story ends, right? The story always ends in us winning. Because he's for us, he's working for us, and he's always looking out for us. Number two. We're going to demonstrate hope in a time of crisis by being at peace and sharing the peace of God with others around us. Let me say that again. We're going to demonstrate hope by keeping our peace and also sharing the peace of God with those around us. Now, when the letter comes to the king of Syria, the Bible says the guy gets into panic mode. He begins to tear his clothes. He is worried. They are coming again to attack us. He starts panicking, he's crying, he's running all over the place. And then Elisha reaches out to him and says, why are you crying? Let him come to me so that you may encounter God, you may encounter the love and the healing power of God. And I believe in a time, in a difficult time, it is so important for us to keep and maintain our peace. It is so important for us to always remember that we have the peace of God. In John 14, verse 28, Jesus says this to the disciples. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. So let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Jesus introduces a very interesting concept about peace. And he says to the disciples, I'm going to give you peace, not which the world gives, but I'm going to give you my peace. My peace I give to you. Now, he introduces a concept of giving peace. So it is possible for us to, out of what we have received, to give that which we have received. And we have received the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. And in a difficult time like this, when the world is running around, not knowing what to do, not knowing where to turn to, not knowing where to go, we have a role and a responsibility as believers in Jesus to say, why are you tearing your clothes? Listen, there is a God of peace who gives peace that surpasses all understanding. And the peace that we have, we give to you. I believe God is calling us to share the peace that he has given us with the world in this hour, that they may know that there is a God of peace, a God who heals, a God who calms the storm. Now, one story that I love, you remember in Mark chapter 4? The Bible talks about Jesus, he's in a boat with his disciples. They are crossing over to the other side. And the Bible says a huge storm arose. But where was Jesus? Sleeping. So Jesus is sleeping, and there's a huge storm. And the Bible even says the boat was about to sink. So the disciples, they panic like the king of Israel. They're running all over the place. Then they go to him and say, Jesus, wake up. You don't care that we're perishing? And then Jesus stands up, you know. And I always think about this in a movie style, right? He wakes up. You know the soundtrack to the movies when something special is about to happen. Ding, ding. He wakes up. And then he says to the wind, peace, be still. And the Bible says the storm immediately responded to him and went calm. Then he then comes back to the disciples and says, don't you have faith till now? What am I saying? We will only have authority over the storm that we can sleep through. Let me say this again. We have authority over the storms, over the crisis that we can sleep through. Now, what does sleeping through a crisis mean? It means being at peace, resting in the knowledge that we are secure in Christ. Amen. Now, am I encouraging you to be reckless? Just going around saying, no, I'm secure in Christ. I don't need to wear a mask. No, that's not what I'm saying. Peace, the peace that I'm talking about is an inherent knowledge and understanding that even though we're going through a difficult time right now, the end result is it's all going to be all right. We are in the palm of his hand. He's holding us in his hand, and he has our best interests at heart. So we're going to demonstrate hope by being at peace and sharing the peace of God with others around us. Number three, we're going to demonstrate hope by returning and drawing people to the simplicity of the gospel. Now, when I was going through the story, this just hit me so hard. And I really just want to say this. I believe as the church, we have a unique or a special call or an urgent call in this hour to return to the simplicity of the gospel. Now, the gospel is simple. The gospel is good news, right? And it's as simple as this, Romans 10:13. The Bible says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, right? Now, you look at the story, and then when Naaman comes to Elisha, and he comes with his horses and chariots. Now, remember, this is a big guy. So in modern day terms, he's more like a vice president. So he comes with a convoy, right? So his convoy shows up at Elisha's house. And Elisha doesn't even come out to him. And then Elisha says to him, send the servant, go and tell him, just go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. Easy peasy. Easy peasy. Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and you'll be made whole. Naaman has the shock of his life. In fact, he has never felt so disrespected before. He says, I thought he was going to come down to me in his robe and all that fanfare, you know, the prophet, the big guy, and he was going to wave his hand and then maybe do some incarnation of sort, you know, for me to get healed. But none of that happens. He says, just go and wash. So Elisha goes off in a rush. He's angry. He's saying, the rivers of Damascus are even better, right? Then his servants come to him and say, but master, he's just asked you to do a simple thing. If he had asked you to do something difficult, would you have done it? Now, what do we see by that? I think because we have reduced or we have turned away from the simplicity of the gospel, we have created an unreal expectation in people that they need to expect something out of this world and a ritual that has to happen for them to encounter the love of Jesus. So Naaman comes expecting a ritual, something so huge that he has to do. And when he's told a simple instruction, which is the gospel is what? Good news. It's as easy as whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Naaman doesn't get that. He expects something difficult. And I believe in this hour when the world is going through so much, can we just point people back to Jesus? In the simplest and purest form, there is no ritual that needs to happen. And I want to say to those who are watching online, if you're watching and maybe you felt like it's so hard to get, I can't get hold of this love because maybe I need to do so many things. Maybe I need to write an application letter to belong to Flood Church. And then after I do that, I need to go and get my church clothes made so that I can come and meet Jesus. That's not true. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So wherever you are, even if you are in the building today, if you are crying out to him, if you need a touch from him, it's as easy as that. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So even if you are watching at home right now, you can call on him right where you are. It doesn't matter, maybe you are listening and you're taking a shower. You can still call on him right now. And the Bible says, you shall be saved. That's a promise. Amen. Lastly, oh, number four, not lastly. I'm about to wrap up. We're almost out of time. Number four, we demonstrate hope in this difficult time by choosing to walk in integrity regardless of the cost. Ooh! When there's so much chaos going on and then COVID funds are getting missing and all that, there is a calling on the church for us to remain walking in integrity, regardless of the cost. Now, Naaman comes with $3 million. I'm talking about greenbacks here, not quaches. Greenbacks, he comes with $3 million to Elisha. He wants a healing. Then after he gets a healing, he comes back excited. He says, oh, here you go. Elisha says, no, I'm not going to take that. If you read the story later on, Elisha's servant, Gehazi, goes like, I don't know about you, but I need a bit of that. So he rushes after Naaman and then gets a cut, and then he comes back. And we know how the story ends. Elisha then gets angry, then says, let the leprosy that was on Naaman come on you. And then Gehazi gets it. But that's not the point. The point is this. Elisha refuses to take advantage of the situation, and he chooses to remain true to himself, to walk in integrity despite the situation. Now, I want to speak to business people this morning. I want to challenge you. You see, walking in integrity means you don't take advantage of the situation, and you don't take advantage of others as well. I've had so many cases of businesses that are doing quite well actually right now, but they are cutting their employees' salaries, just hiding behind the pandemic, right? No, everyone is doing it, so I can do it as well. I want to challenge business people. I really felt this when I was preparing this message, that we're going to demonstrate hope as believers if we stay true to ourselves and our nature, which is that of integrity. Are we willing to, it might be costly on us, but are we willing to go the extra mile and show people that, listen, I believe in a bigger system, a higher system. I know things might not be going well right now, but I know the system that I depend on. It's the system of heaven. And in this system, it's a system of love. We value one another. We go the extra mile. We don't take advantage of each other. I want to challenge you this morning. Maybe you have a maid at home. Right? Of course, when you talk about business, we only think of those who are running companies. No, maybe you have a maid at home. How are we displaying love by walking in integrity and honoring them in this time and saying, listen, I know I might not have much right now, but we're in this together. Man, when we begin to walk in integrity and show people this kind of love, I can assure you, they will know that there is a Jesus who is alive, who lives, and he loves people. And that's what he's calling us to do, to walk in integrity. And lastly, we will demonstrate hope in this time by living courageously and loving sacrificially. Woo! Man, we're being called to live courageously. Now again, when I say live courageously, I'm not talking about being reckless, right? But I'm talking about demonstrating a kind of love which is willing to get their hands dirty, which is willing to unroll the sleeves and say, Jesus, I'm ready. What do you want me to do in this hour? Send me and I will go. Now, in the 14th century, there was the Great Plagues. I don't know if you've heard about that, but it was a huge pandemic that happened. And between 30 to 60% of Europe's population died during that time. Very difficult time. Now, when the plague hit, history says, all the people in the city, the doctors, the what, they all ran away. I'm so glad that the doctors during COVID have stayed. Thank God for medicine and science, amen. But during the plague, they all ran away because they just didn't know what to do. And history records that at this time, the hardest time in Europe's history was also the time of unprecedented church growth. And you know how the church grew?
not by going around and waving placards, you're going to hell if you don't repent to Jesus. No, the church grew because when the doctors were running away, the church rushed in to take care of the sick, to love people. And in the process, some lost their lives as well. But such courage and such sacrifice to say, others are running away from the problem, but we're going to go right in. Now, again, I emphasize, I'm not calling you to be reckless here, but I'm saying the challenge to you is this: what is God calling you to do as a courageous act of living and as a sacrificial act of love? What is he calling you to do in your sphere, wherever you are? What is he calling you to do? Because I believe when we step into this calling of living courageously and loving sacrificially, in this difficult time, we will experience a great move of God. Why? Because his church is on the move and the world is encountering his love. Amen. Now, as we close this, I just want to say this to you this morning. Here in the room and those watching online, I want you to ask the Lord this morning and say, what would you have me do? What act of courageous living are you calling me to do? Who are you calling me to love sacrificially in this time? And I pray that as the Lord begins to speak to you, that you would have the courage and the boldness to step out in faith, in obedience. And I believe God is going to honor you even as you step out in obedience and do this. But before we close this morning, I also want to give an invitation. Maybe I'm in the room today and, man, you just feel like I just need a touch from God. It's been difficult. It's been tough. Or maybe you are here and you've never encountered the love of Jesus. And you might be watching online as well and just saying, listen, I've been going through this life and I've just never met this love. I want to give you an invitation. We spoke about it earlier and said, the gospel is simple as whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you are here today and maybe you've never encountered Jesus, or you're watching online, you've never encountered Jesus, you've never encountered his love, I have good news for you. He's the one who took the most courageous and most sacrificial act ever recorded in history. He took off his divinity, came down to earth, and lived like a mere man, and at the end of it all, hung on a cross and died for you and I so that we may be saved and experience eternal life. So if you are here, if you are that person, wherever you are at home or in the building, just join me in this short prayer as you call and invite the Lord into your life. And I can assure you, as you call on him right now, he's going to come into your heart and he's going to engulf you with his love and carry you through. So just join me in this prayer if you're saying, I need Jesus this morning. Lord, we thank you because you are the great Savior. Today, we confess of our need for you. Jesus, I need you. We need you. Would you come into my heart this morning? Fill me with your love. Would you come and save me from myself and the sin that so easily engulfs me, that I may receive eternal life? In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen and amen. If you've prayed that prayer, I want you to know that welcome to the family of God. You are now a child of God. Again, if you say that prayer, whether you're in the building or you're watching online, please let us know. We want to journey with you. We have some Bibles that we want to get into your hands. So if you're watching online and you've said this prayer, please send us an email. The details will appear on the screen. And we want to get a Bible into your hands. And we'll be glad to journey with you. Even if you're in the building, see me after the service. Let's get a Bible into your hand as we do this. I'm going to invite the worship team just to come and lead us in another song of worship before we close.
Amen. Thank you very much for taking the time to listen to the Flood Lilonge podcast. For more sermons, visit our website at floodchurch.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the Flood Lilonge YouTube channel and like our Facebook page. Stay blessed.